Did anyone ever see the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Yeah, everybody said. Of course, Tim saw it, right? That's right down your alley. I would say Tim is like the target audience for Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? Right down his alley. That came out in 1986, almost exactly 40 years ago. Tim, you were like still in your 40s at that point when that came out. Now, if you remember, part of the unique style of that movie was that Ferris, the main character, was throughout the movie turning and talking directly to the camera. Remember that? He would turn and talk to the camera, and he was addressing directly the viewing audience. Remember that? Okay. Now, there's some other examples of that in movies, but it's pretty rare that that happens, and that was one of the more famous examples of that in movies, was Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Now, in TV, did anyone ever watch the show The Office? Of course, Tim saw The Office, right? Again, right down his alley. You've seen The Office, right? Yeah. Now, that's a funny show. That was a pretty funny show. Now, there, I don't think they talked directly to the audience, but do you remember what they did throughout that show? They would often just kind of look up quickly at the camera and make a funny, like they would look and sort of acknowledge the audience in the camera, make a funny face or raise their eyebrows or something like that. They would look at the camera, make contact with the audience throughout, and it just acknowledged the viewer's presence, kind of bring you into the action. It was really kind of a unique style that they had. Now, when this occurs, especially in movies and TV, it also could be in plays and other medium, it's called breaking the fourth wall. That's what they refer to that as. The idea being that there's kind of a story going on, you know, it's being told, inside four walls, and the audience is on the outside looking in, and when you reach outside directly and include the audience, they're sort of breaking through the fourth wall. Okay, now, my thesis here today is that this very rarely happens in the Bible. It's unusual, it's rare, that the Bible addresses directly the ultimate reader, like us, whomever that may be, including us here in Bowmansville, Pennsylvania. Now, do not get me wrong, I believe every word of the Bible is intended for us, for our use. Our own St. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is useful for us, for teaching and instructing, for everyone, including us, yeah. And I commonly say here things like, you know, Jesus said this to his disciples, and he's saying it to all of us, right? I say stuff like that all the time, and I believe that. I believe that to be true, but he's saying it to his disciples or through his disciples to us. And I think there's only one example in the Gospels, and this is even kind of a stretch, when Jesus sort of broke the fourth wall himself. In Mark 13, verse 37, Jesus said this, quote, he said this, "What I say to you," he's talking to his disciples, "what I say to you, I am saying to everyone." That's what he said. Now again, he was speaking to his disciples, but there he was also kind of addressing everyone, because he used the word everyone. That includes us, you know, he's telling everybody to be watchful. Right, to be vigilant, we talk about. All right, it was sort of kind of close to breaking the fourth wall, but it's a little bit of a stretch. It's kind of an example. What are some other examples? Now, you might think when you read all of the various books from our own St. Paul that he was breaking the fourth wall. Why? Because he's always using the pronoun you, Y-O-U. He would say things like, "I thank God for you," or "I'm praying for you." St. Paul was saying that all the time, you. But that's because he was writing letters to specific people or specific churches. He was writing letters to people. We just happen to be reading his mail, right? He wasn't writing those letters to us here in Bowmansville, Pennsylvania. Although it's certainly, all of it is certainly for our benefit. He wasn't writing the letters to the church in Bowmansville, Pennsylvania, no. Okay, so right about now you're thinking, okay, who cares, right? What's the point? What's the point? All right, well, just keep all of that in mind for 1 minute. We'll come back to that in about a minute. In our gospel reading today, we heard from Charlie, John chapter 20. We start out on the evening of the very first Easter. That's when that reading started. The very first Easter, Sunday evening, last Sunday. Okay. The disciples were huddled together behind what? Locked doors. Okay. The doors were locked. And they were in fear. Why were they in fear? Because they thought what happened to Jesus could happen to them too, right? They were in fear. It could happen to them also. And then suddenly, despite the locked doors, Jesus appears right there with them. Now, think about it. He could have come through those locked doors, right, with a head of steam, angry, wrathful, mad at these guys, right? You think about that, because these guys had all betrayed him, denied him, abandoned him. Yeah, he could have done that, but what did he do? He said, peace be with you, right? He wasn't wrathful at all. And then he showed him his hands, and he showed him his side, and he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. That's what he did. No anger, no wrath, just love. Just love. Okay, but who wasn't there for this great moment, that first night? Who wasn't there? Thomas wasn't there. No, he was off bowling somewhere. So, I mean, where was he, right? Who knows? Nobody knows where he was. He just wasn't there. And of course, Thomas, despite later hearing a firsthand account from all of his dearest friends, all of his closest friends, he refuses to believe, right? I will not believe. Sounds reasonable. No, doesn't sound reasonable at all, right? He would not believe. Okay, so then, a week later, today, like today, Jesus shows up again through the locked doors. Now, surely, he'll be furious at Thomas, Mr. Unreasonable, right? He'll be furious and wrathful and send him straight into a lake of fire. That's what you would do, Charlie, right? Or Tim certainly would, right? Right into the lake of fire. No, again with the peace be with you, right? That's what he does. It says again, peace be with you. No wrath. There's no wrath, right? No justice. Where's the justice? No. Just love. Just love for Thomas. And then he gives him what he needs. He shows Thomas everything that he wants to see, right? Everything he needs, his hands, his sides. He gives Thomas whatever he needs to get him where he needs to be. And guess what? Thomas believes. Well, sure he does. Sure he does. Okay, but here then comes the really important point, at least for today's lesson. First, Jesus then explains the reason for this story, the Thomas story. And then second, John explains the reason for his entire gospel. And in doing this, Jesus acknowledges us, the audience. And then for the first time, John breaks through, straight through that fourth wall and talks directly to us. And it's you can miss it, but it's real and it's very unusual. Now listen, verse 29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Who are those? Who is Jesus talking about? He's talking about us. Okay, but notice he's still talking about us. He's not talking directly to us. He's talking about us. He's acknowledging our existence, our presence. And then, immediately after that, right after Jesus talks about us and he blesses us, John turns and faces the camera and speaks directly to us, because it's so important. This is what he does. He says this: "This has all been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." That's very unusual. And that's what he did. He talked directly to us, right here in Bowmansville, Pennsylvania. He's not talking to the other disciples there. He's not talking to a crowd in a sermon. He's not writing a letter to anybody. Nope. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me. He's talking to the reader and the hearer of his gospel. He's breaking through that fourth wall and speaking directly to you and to me here today. Why is he doing that? Because we weren't there to see it, and he was. And he wants us to know, and he wants us to believe, and he wants us to have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen.